They are regular people. I know it might come as a surprise to you, but they're regular people that are following the call of God on their lives, okay? So this morning's a little bit special and incredibly scary for me, okay? Because what we're going to attempt to do, and I hope you can bear with me, is we are going to try and talk to one of our global team in Faridabad, India, this morning. So I hope you're all happy with the way you presented yourselves, because he'll be looking at you, not me. And then later, we'll be talking to a couple, well, actually five people over in northern Thailand as well. So you know we're at the cutting edge of technology here at Hillside, right? Okay, that was ironic, okay? So it's pretty scary and a lot of fun, and we're really excited, but we're at the mercy of a little bit of technology and a lot of long cable. But today is actually a moment that Pastor Kerry and I have talked about for many years. Wouldn't it be nice not to just tell you about these people that are actually on the global missions board out in the foyer? So there are all these little faces that you might have looked at on the globe. In the foyer. Well, wouldn't it be nice if we didn't have to tell you about them, but they could tell you themselves? So this is the culmination of quite a bit of work for us. So here we go. And actually, before we get into the message this morning, a couple of quick announcements. And I haven't got these on the screen at the moment. But missions lunch, so global lunch, is after the service today. Again, if you're unfamiliar with our missions lunches, they're big, you get fed really well. We do ask for a $10 donation, with all proceeds going to missions, okay? Now, if you haven't got cash, we will have the bank transfer details up on the screen after the service. You can also find these little envelopes in your seat backs. You can fill one of these in to get your lunch. And if you don't have 10 bucks, or you just tell the team that Pastor Craig said he'll work it out. He'll cover it. There you go. Thanks, Lance. And you're welcome. Where are we? Okay, so that's the first announcement. That's after the service out in the foyer. Just a point of note, as we're in Global Missions Morning, the food has been cooked and prepared by Hillsiders from Australia, New Zealand, the Philippines, South Africa, Zimbabwe, Malaysia, the Pacific Islands in particular, Niue Island, Singapore and India. Okay, so there's a massive group. I possibly have missed some. And they have over 42 years representation of being planted in this church. So Hillsiders, just feeding Hillsiders from all over the world right here in Little Forestfield. It's crazy. So I was going to ask you for a round of applause for them, but you've already done that. And they're cooking, and the smells you can smell are all the good smells that come with their meals, all right? Second announcement this Wednesday, Hillside Young Adults. You Can't Ask That continues with a session with our Young Adults Coordinator, Tobin Hopper, leading a session on drugs and alcohol, okay? So get down here, I think it's 7:30, 7 o'clock, something like that. Check it all out on our Facebook. And the last announcement is that next Sunday, Apostle Stephen Davis from Victory Life International will be our guest speaker. So again, make sure you're down here. It'll be a great morning. Just finally on announcements, and this kind of leads into our message this morning. I just want to say thank you to all of you, because for the last 2 months, some of you are aware I've had a bit of a whack to the head, and I've been all over the gaff, quite literally. It's amazing to me. I'm quite excited, because like last Sunday, I didn't even make it through worship, and I had to go and lie down because of this knock to the head I took. But I just want to say thank you to you guys. So many of you have just been praying for me and encouraging me and checking in on me. And it's been incredibly humbling. And it's a powerful thing. It really is, when people just send you a text, or not that I expect it, okay? I don't. But it's been a powerful thing, a powerful witness from you guys that you've sent me a text or you've dropped into the office or you've had a word or you've just gone, mate, you look like... you look pretty bad. But you've cared for me in a really practical way and you've just asked what you can do and how you can help. And it's been humbling. So thank you very, very much because it does lead into where we're going this morning. But let's look forward to our global focus now with hopefully our first live call of the morning. We're heading out to Faridabad in India, which is just north of New Delhi, where Hillside have supported First Pentecostal Church over there for nearly 20 years. Okay, the church is now led by senior pastor Joshua Lal and supported by his wife Cushy and two children, Hosanna and Malachi. And just some fun facts for you about Faridabad. So it's located in the north of India, northeast of New Delhi, in Haryana state. And Faridabad is a fast-growing industrial city, okay? And the statistics would suggest it's one of the top 10 fastest-growing cities in the world, despite it being completely and utterly industrial. The World Health Organization statistics in 2018 state that Faridabad is the world's second most polluted city, okay? So it's an unusual hustle and bustle kind of place. So what about Christianity? The Indian census, I think, of 2011 suggested that Christians make up just 2.3% of the population. So it's well behind the swaths of Hinduism and Islamic followers, okay, being the major kind of faith groups over there. And also, for those of you that follow politics, international politics, the Indian Prime Minister, Narendra Modi, has systematically made it more and more difficult for Christianity to survive, not even thrive, but survive in India in recent years. He's put a number of suppressive kind of laws and regulations in place that make it a very, very hard place to preach the word of God. Okay, and the persecution of the church in India is rife. It's a hard place to minister. But Pastor Joshua Lal, he travels great distances on really poor roads to preach and to serve his congregation and go and bless other churches and support other pastors. He's been doing that for a long time. And as you know, we've been raising funds for Pastor Joshua in order for him and his family to actually build additional living areas at the site of his church, okay? This is for the reason that he can actually be based at his church, so whenever, at any time, people come knocking or in need of help, he's right there, okay? So it isn't for his own benefit, really. It's for the congregation and for people in need. So I thought it'd be a good thing for us to just give him a call and find out what he's up to and for him to give you an update because you're the people, we're the people that have been supporting him. So we're going to try and do a Skype call now. Pray for technology. One of the reasons that we began this morning with Pastor Joshua and his wife Cushy is that he's a great example of somebody who's hugely, hugely willing to serve the local church in Faridabad. It's a difficult place to serve, but he's willing. And not for his own means, but to honour and glorify Jesus through his service. And if you need a title for this morning's message, I've called it Living Transformed, okay? While Pastor Joshua is a member of our global team, so sometimes people can go, oh, look, he must be special, okay? And he is in the eyes of the Lord, of course. He's not a celebrity, right? He's not seeking attention because of his role or his job. But he is being an obedient doer of the Word of God. And his faith is being outworked in his local community. Okay, in James 2:26, and this is something you've probably heard before. It says, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. You might have heard that before. Faith without works is dead. And I just want to sit in a bit of context around this verse, because sometimes we throw that out there and sometimes it can get a little bit confusing. But we've got a great opportunity for ourselves this morning to do a little bit of a spiritual checkup, if you like. Okay, just check out and see what our motivation might be. For those of you that are serving, maybe those of you that feel called by God, it might be a check on your motivation. I know it's been a check on mine. And for some of you, maybe you're wondering what God could possibly be calling you to. How God could possibly use someone like you. Well, I just feel there's encouragement in the room for you today. I feel like there's a refreshing for those of you that do serve. I feel like there's a renewing for those of you that have served and maybe are tired. And there's definitely this sense of a checkup in the midst of it all around our motivation for serving, or you could call it doing. Okay? So I don't know what your situation is. This morning I got up and I just clearly felt for me that I'd heard from God that he wanted to confirm some things for people that are at that place of going, hey, who am I? Who am I to do work for the Lord? Well, you're a child of the living God. All right? And I just want to encourage you that this is not a role that is above you. This is a role, whatever that is for you, and I don't know who I'm talking to in this room, but it's a calling unique to you, okay? And your own doubts and your own worries, they don't come into the equation, and we're going to just do some learning around that. But I want this to be an encouragement to you, particularly if you're struggling with what your calling might be or how you could possibly serve, okay? The book of James has a lot to say about our actions being a result of our faith. So I want to take a little bit of a wider look in the preceding verses around the one that we've just read. So we're going to start in James 2, verse 14. And it says, what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? I just want to pause here and make a clear distinction, okay? The context of this passage is not about salvation, okay? This is something that I know with some of our youth ministry, I've had this conversation with some of the young people, but it's not exclusive to them. This passage is about the outworking of our faith, not salvation, okay? So we should be very careful not to confuse this statement with any thought of salvation, okay? James is not presenting an alternate or contrary view to that of Paul in Paul's writings, okay? So just in case you're going, nah, that doesn't sound right, be careful with that, okay? So this scripture is not referring to earning salvation through works, not at all, okay? Far from it, James compliments Paul. He compliments Paul's writing by saying that true faith should outwork itself through deeds. Okay? You might call it transformation in Jesus' name, if you like. That our actions would reflect a faithful walk with Jesus. Okay? So James is just saying, hey, if Jesus has done something in your heart, if you believe it, if you've received salvation by grace, then man, that's going to change our behaviors. Our behaviors are going to reflect that transformation, okay? Verse 15 continues to define these works as very practical, okay? And we'll just move into verse 15. Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. So what James is saying to us in this short couple of passages is, he's highlighting, don't be religious. Essentially, he's saying, don't be religious about this stuff. Don't get on your soapbox and say the right thing, okay? He's dealing with me in this because, yeah, he is. You got to do it. Don't just say the right thing. You got to do it. I want to give you a very simple example of love. Okay, so if my wife says to me that she likes chocolate and she's interested in having some, and I say to her, oh, babe, that's really nice. I hope you find some soon. While I'm like reclining on the couch eating a Kit Kat. I don't know about you and your house. But in my house, that doesn't tend to go down all that well. The reality of it is it's a pretty empty gesture. Surely you have to consider the depth of love in a situation like that, or how deep or real your love really is, if you're going to just carry on regardless in the midst of a need far beyond chocolate and just go, oh yeah, yeah, great, you're hungry, hope you find some food in a moment while I continue to eat. You see, as it says in Matthew 25:40, when we serve even the least of those around us, we're doing it unto the Lord himself. There's a principle here of being generous and the outworking of our faith should be servant-hearted, not self-serving. Okay, and I think speaking to Pastor Josh, and I've been to Faridabad, I've seen the way him and his family work. My goodness, that man and his family, they're the epitome of servant-hearted people. But we got to check in our hearts, our own motivation, that all our religious words, whatever, are not just self-serving. They're meant to be practically outworked. We're called to be servant-hearted. If we continue into verse 18. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. See, James is making a simple observation that even a demon believes in God. But they will not behave in a godly way. Fair? Therefore, we can't operate as non-practicing Christians. I don't even think that's a thing, but we definitely can't like put the badge on, hey, you know what, I'm saved, I can just do whatever I like. We have to put our faith into practice. It's what we're purposed to do. It's what we're purposed to do. It goes on into verse 20, and it says, you foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. The context in this passage is sometimes not realized, particularly if you're new to reading your Bible, okay? If you're new to reading your Bible and you're going, hold on, who's this Abraham guy? Where's he come from? What are we talking about here? Okay, you're not alone, because I've been there too. It's actually really common in the Bible that different writers reference or draw parallels from other stories within the books of the Bible themselves, okay? So this is an example of that happening, okay? And it is a direct reference to Genesis 22 from the Old Testament, okay? So way back at the start of the Bible, it's being referenced right towards the end of the Bible now, where Abraham, who was called a faithful friend of God, was asked to sacrifice his son Isaac. So just let that sink in. God's asking a father to sacrifice his son. Okay? That for me is fairly intense. But God spared Isaac after Abraham attempted to bring him for sacrifice. Okay? God actually acknowledged that Abraham was willing to obediently follow the request of God, and that Abraham was faithful, even in this moment that potentially was painful, and Abraham couldn't see the why. This is a great example of our obedience to God, sometimes requiring trust, but essentially will bear fruit. Okay, so we don't always get to see the end of the story. We don't get to see, how is this going to work out for me, God? But sometimes he's putting us in positions where he requires us to take action, to be obedient to him, just like Abraham was. God, I don't really want to do this. I don't really understand why. Here we go. Here's my son. And God said, hey, you know what? It's okay. I just wanted to see. I wanted to check you. I wanted to check your obedience. Okay? Our obedience can require trust, but will bear fruit. And I say can require trust because sometimes, you know, this morning Janice was leading worship. You know, come on, church, praise him. We can do that. Nice, easy. Yeah, yeah. Okay, I'll praise you. There's nothing on it. It's of no cost to me. But sometimes it can require that trust because we can't see the end game, but God can, and it will bear fruit. Verse 25. In the same way, was not even Rahab, the prostitute, considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Now again, we're at the end of the Bible referencing earlier in the Bible, okay? So Rahab is referenced earlier in Joshua 2, okay, where Rahab acknowledged the Lord was handing the land into Joshua and his army's hands, okay? And despite her occupation or reputation, Rahab heard that the Lord's people were seeing him move in a powerful way. She knew that these people were accompanied by God, and signs and wonders were coming with them. And as a result of that, she willfully honored the Lord. You see, this is one that maybe we can go, hey, hold on, we're talking about prostitutes here, you know, too far. And I'm going, no, that's me. No, that's us. You see, sometimes regardless of our reputation, just like Rahab, God can use our willful obedience. You see, when we're willfully obedient, regardless of how we see ourselves, how we think others see ourselves, regardless if the only time in the Bible I'm referenced is by being named a prostitute, if I'm willfully obedient, it's a reflection of his spirit rising up within me. And it's a It's an example of where his spirit is within me, within us, within Rahab. You see, there is a freedom in that place. And therefore, you know what the word says. Where there is freedom, that's where the spirit of the Lord is. Okay? When we are willing to serve others, not simply ourselves, when we do that in Jesus' name, powerful things can happen using anyone. Even Rahab the prostitute. I don't even know why I'm saying even. Because I go, she's just a reflection of us. She's just a reflection of me. She's just a reflection of so many of us in this room. You see, I want to make the point here that our global team, they are not unicorns of faith. Okay? They're just living obedient lives. They're living obedient to the call of God upon their lives. And that doesn't make them better than anyone else here. Okay? Just in case you're wondering. Okay? So I just want to mention their names because so many of them are not in the room. We've got Layla and Moses in Turkey, Pastor Godfrey in Uganda, Sadler and Murchie's Hans and Rosie in Brazil, David Bonanno, who we will see in a moment representing Youth for Christ across Asia Pacific, Steve and Jan Warren representing Youth with a Mission all over the world, Pat Davey, Barry and Lynn with Ripple Effect in the Philippines, John Bastian, who goes out to India, out in Southeast Asia, James and Nat, who will again be heading out to Asia very soon. Tanya Magenta and the Hillside Christian College students who head out to Cambodia every year. I know that Bill and Monique Crabtree heading out all over Africa. I see Amy and Tom down there doing their work with the orphanage in India, right? Yeah? There's so many. There's just so many. I'm apologizing to you if I haven't named you. Willfully being obedient to the call of God. Faithful in word, action, and deed. You see, they heard, they were obedient, and they just said yes to the unique calling upon their lives. They just said yes. Yes, Lord, I will. So just to wrap things up, and I know we're a little bit over time, so forgive me. But I thought, what better a place to go to now than to see five more who are obedient to the unique calling of God upon their lives. We're going to go live to Tim Taylor, Claudia Taylor, someone you might know, Pastor Kerry, and David Bonanno out in the backwaters of northern Thailand. Thank you, church. I appreciate your patience with me this morning. We're just going to wrap up, okay? So, again, and I think Cloud just summed it up. You know, just a simple calling confirmed by God. Let me just pull this up. I think you can see it anyway. But unique. Unique. Tim and Claudia called out to the backwaters of northern Thailand from Brazil to begin with. Joshua Lal in India, Faridabad, but just serving his local community. Okay? So you've actually seen somebody serving locals and people called internationally. Okay? The Lord calls us to obedience, to listen, to hear, to be transformed through the Word and His Spirit. Not only that, that's only half the equation. Acting upon it is the second part. Okay, so before we go and have a great lunch, what is it for you, for I, for us, that we are called to as individuals, uniquely? What has God placed around us? What is the calling that He wants us to fulfill? What areas of our life do we actually need to submit to Him in obedience today? Who are we serving? And I don't mean that to be a really deep theological question. I'm going, should that be our family? Should that be our friends? Is that in our workplace? Is that our schools? Is that in our colleges? Is that in our universities? Is that local? Is that national? Is that international? Is that global? What is it, Lord? And I know there's people in this room that have doubts over whether the Lord can use you. Just want to encourage you. You've seen just a very small number of people, very much like you and I, just ones that have said yes to the calling of God. Missions is for everyone, everywhere, at any time. Any place can be your mission field. Anyone can be your divine appointment. If we leave this place with nothing else, I just urge you, church, to be sensitive, so sensitive. And I believe the Lord will have spoken to you already about what you are called to do. We're going to close in prayer now, but if anyone would like some prayer, please feel free to come down the front. Otherwise, enjoy your missions lunch. The BSB and account numbers are up on the screen, or you can just call in a shout from me. But let's pray. Father God, we just thank you that you've given the living word of God to us. You've given us such an incredible instruction manual. Father, you've given us just a beautiful thing in the Bible, Lord God. And Father, as we read it, as we're impacted by it, as we chew through it, Lord God, it is not to be self-serving. Father, that is not the reason. It is to cause transformation in us and to cause action by the people of Jesus, the family of Jesus Christ, to go out, that they would know us by our love. Father, that they would see us by our action. Father, that there is nowhere beyond your reach, no one beyond your calling. And Father, you can use any of us. So Father, I pray boldness, I pray clarity, I pray that you would give each and every one of us a confidence to leave this room, that our faith would not be a Sunday morning thing, but a 24/7 thing, Lord God, that it would just flow out of us at any given time. May we be a people of obedience, Father, and Father, a people that listens and hears and reads and studies your word, but also doers of your word. So, Father, I pray your encouragement would be upon your people. And once again, I pray that the food we're about to receive may be a blessing to our bodies and bless those that have prepared it. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you.